Love Talk Radio.
To change, and so we're starting at 4:30 for today, but we'll be back at 4 p.m. on Friday. We've just got some new equipment and getting all the bugs out. Hopefully there'll be no more problems and minor things that have kind of screwed up things. Anyway, it's February 20th, and interesting birthdays today. If you've studied piano and you had to learn all the scales and the arpeggios and the tremolos and all of that, tremolos actually for violin, Carl Czerny was born today. He was connected to Ludwig von Beethoven, one of the great singers, opera singers from Scotland. Mary Garden, born in 1874, sang at many of the opera houses around the world. One of the, I don't know if you can call him a robber baron, but one of the big New York and East Coast socialites, and also connected to Gloria Vanderbilt. In 1899, Cornelius Vanderbilt Whitney was born. On this date also, the great photographer, naturalist photographer, Ansel Adams, one of the successors to Khrushchev and Bulganin, Soviet Premier Alexei Kosygin. I think he visited the United States. I think he went to the UN also. John Daly, who had What's My Line, he had that unusual voice. Well, he was born in South Africa, and of course South Africa is in the news with this athlete Pastorius, who's accused of brutally killing his girlfriend. There are all kinds of controversies about testosterone, guns, a lot of things, and it's unfortunate that we have these enhancing drugs that Lance Armstrong has been caught with, Barry Bonds, question about him, and others, but it does happen. 1924, an ancestor of Cornelius Vanderbilt, Gloria Vanderbilt, was born, and there's a famous book and her whole saga, poor Glory, poor little rich girl, fight between her mother and her grandmother and some other members of that troubled family. Gloria is best known for two things. First of all, she designed a set of jeans for women. Also, she married a septuagenarian, the great music conductor and arranger of music, Leopold Stokowski, who was three times her age. He fathered two sons, one of whom committed suicide by jumping off a ledge in New York City, a horrible suicide. And Stokowski died in 1970. Another New Yorker, controversial lawyer, one of the most controversial lawyers, but brilliant, Roy Cohn, who died of AIDS. He was the lawyer in the prosecuting attorney in the federal case against the Rosenbergs in the Rosenberg, David Greenglass, and atomic bomb theft spy case in the 50s. What was interesting about that case, and of course I did work in the Seventh Circuit Courthouse, learned some things when I was going to school, all the participants, including the defense attorney, were all of Jewish ethnic. The judge, Irvin Kaufman, I believe, Roy Cohn, Jewish background, Jewish ethnic. The defense lawyer was also Jewish, and of course the Rosenbergs. Also on this day, and then Roy Cohn later went to work for Senator Joseph McCarthy, and there was a question about a relationship with this Army private G. David Shine. Also, Roy Cohn got into it with Robert Kennedy, who was also working with the Senator Joseph McCarthy, who was friendly with Joe Kennedy, old man Joe Kennedy, the father of the Kennedy brothers. Sidney Poitier was born on this day in Florida, I believe. Remember Gunsmoke and Miss Kitty? Amanda Blake, born in 1929. A German conductor who took over the Dallas Symphony, and he's also a pianist, Christoph von Eschenbach. The minority leader of the U.S. Senate, Mitch McConnell, believe it or not, for Southerner, he's a Roman Catholic. He's divorced from his first wife, but he's married to Elaine Chao, who I think was in the Bush administration. In 1946, Sandy Duncan, remember her? And Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Apparently a lot of people were. Peter Strauss, born on this day. Now, there's a rare film where he plays a Union soldier after the Civil War, and he's out on the frontier, I believe in Colorado, where they had the Sand Creek Massacre, and Candace Bergen starred in this film called Soldier Blue. It's about how the Colorado militia massacred a band of peaceful Indians. And scalped them and cut off their scrotums and used them for little trophies, horrible things they did. Now, American Indians have been accused of originating scalping. Scalping dates back to the 5th century. The Scythians started it, and they would scalp their enemies after a battle to show that their manhood and that they were triumphant. The Franks did it. The French did it. The French Canadians did it up in Canada. The Indians did do this, and of course Americans did do this, and they would not only cut off scalps, but they would cut off the scrotums of the male warriors, and I had heard stories that they would cut off the breasts of squaws. Just horrible things. It's still wrong. Edward Albert, born on this day, now he died. He was the son of the other Albert, who played in Midway, played in A Bridge Too Far. Now, Eddie Albert was the young naval pilot who starred in the film Midway, and whose girlfriend was Japanese. And Charlton Heston was also in that film. Barry Wadsworth, this is another example of an instrumentalist who decides he wants to become a orchestra conductor, and he's cut several good recordings. Another great orchestra conductor, Ricardo Chailly, born on this day. Patty Hearst was born on this day. Now, she is significant. This case is significant because Ron Fortner, the late Ron Fortner, who worked for Channel 2 here in the Bay Area, Oakland, California, he did some investigating on that kidnapping case and even went down to Los Angeles and witnessed the SLA when the LAPD finally cornered Sin Q and the house was burnt down. The late Ron Fortner got an Emmy for his work. Also, he was an Air Force veteran. He unfortunately died of cancer. And he was one of the first people to investigate and to broadcast what was really going on in the U.S. Navy rape case, male rape case of Stephen Neri. The case is still going on. It's like a case out of an episode out of Macbeth, that it's not going to die until there's justice. Let's see, who else? Among the deaths today, great English composer, 1626, John Dowland. Great civil rights activist before the Civil War and after the Civil War, and a great speaker, Frederick Douglass. Robert Peary died on this day. He was accompanied by a black, I forgot the guy's name, who also fathered a child among the Eskimos, but the black didn't get credit until very recently. Robert Peary was down there on the South Pole in June of 1909. He died in 1920. The great admiral, Chester Nimitz, who was the one in command of the Pacific, the U.S. Navy forces, and he was the one who decided that we better do something about Midway, because Yamamoto was planning to lure the American fleet out and to destroy the remaining carriers, but it was the Japanese carriers that were destroyed. And as I earlier said, Edward Albert and Charlton Heston was in the film Midway, and there's several good books about what happened at Midway, which was the turning point in the Pacific naval war against Japan. Another great musician, a Swiss conductor, taught and started the Swiss Romande Orchestra, Ernest Ansermet, died on this day. A real a sleazy, and I consider him a scumbag for what he did to Rose Di Aquino. Walter Winchell died on this day, and people who really knew about him didn't mourn his death. He also, in effect, wrote a piece of fiction about Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness was not responsible for bringing down Al Capone. It was an accountant from the Treasury Department. They got a hold of Al Capone's books, found that he wasn't paying income tax on his illegal liquor, and it was the guy's name, the accountant's name was Elmer Irie. I learned that when I worked in the federal building in Chicago when I was going to school. Among the political animals who died on this day, she died at 96. Teddy Roosevelt's only daughter, Alice, he said, I can't do anything with her. She married the Speaker of the House, a Republican named Longworth. It was a marriage of convenience, in effect. But she would always go to Washington events. Of course, she was the daughter of a president. And she would have people sit by her, and she'd fill them in on the latest gossip. Among the I lost one of our scripts, but among the events today, that the U.S. Supreme Court, SCOTUS is a short name, ruled that baseball was not a business but a sport, and there's been a lot of controversy about that. We're still celebrating presidents this month, and I'm going to again play an encore of Lincoln's opera Taste, called A Mass Ball, and this was written in 1858 by Giuseppe Verdi. The plot involves the assassination of a Swedish king, Gustav III, and it was banned in Boston, but it was performed at the Academy of Music in New York, which was one of the predecessors to Juilliard and the New York music scene. Incidentally, the first symphony orchestra was founded in New York, I think in 1842, the Philharmonic, I think it was called. Anyway, we're going to play just a clip from that Lincoln's favorite opera, and I discussed this with somebody who studied Lincoln, whether or not Lincoln had a premonition that he was going to be assassinated. Here is Lincoln's favorite opera.
Ноги препарити йо, при пайзанай крадуті перте.
Узайн важен,
комбес перити шер солаблію, сулетом бітеричі на не. Но, но, комбес перити шер
because there's a lot there. Lincoln also liked to dance, and here's an excerpt from the archives, which we had. Young Lincoln likes to dance, and he met Mary Todd, who was, in a sense, aristocrat, considering where Lincoln was coming from. Also, the person in this film, this excerpt, played Lincoln more than anybody else. He was an American born in San Francisco, and he was about 6'4" also. And we'll have some other interesting facts on Lincoln. Here we go. Young Lincoln likes to dance, and here he meets Mary Todd.
Lawyers of Springfield, Mr. Abraham Lee.
Mr. Lincoln?
Miss Todd, I wonder if you'd honor me with the next dance.
Why?
Miss Todd, you thought my face was funny and the way I dressed even funnier, but the joke's on you.
I don't understand.
When you dance with me.
So that was the end of it was a short dance. Now on Friday, the 22nd, we will, which is the real birthday of George Washington, which incidentally, of all the presidents who were portrayed by actors, Washington tops them all with 17 film. These are the ones that I researched. Lincoln is number two with 16 films or 16 depictions, portrayals. And then we'll go down the list. It's interesting who was portrayed by actors of the occupants of the White House. Since we're on the topic of assassination and we had some connection problems, I want to bring up again the importance of the assassination, the attempted assassination of FDR. When a lot of us think who have studied Chicago and Illinois politics and the history think that Anton Cermak was the real target because it was from the Bohemian ethnic groups in Chicago, which was in control of the Democratic machine, and the Irish ethnics wanted control. In fact, one guy, a Republican, Big Bill Thompson, ran for mayor of Chicago by saying if King George came to Chicago, he'd punch him in the nose. And he went into the Irish ethnic wards, and that was his slogan, and he got elected. He was one of the biggest crooks. He was the guy that invited Al Capone back into Chicago. And it was Anton Cermak and the reform group that got rid of, helped to purge Big Bill Thompson, and that the corrupt happened to be a Republican crowd. Now, Cermak was the attempted assassination of, they said it was of Roosevelt, but it was Cermak. It took him a month to die. He was shot by a guy named Giuseppe Zangara, and Zangara is Italian who claimed to have hated politicians, and of course, the important thing, when Cermak died, the Irish ethnics regained control of the Chicago Democratic and Cook County Democratic machine. Also, out of that assassination of Cermak, the Otto Kerner, whose family was also a Bohemian ethnics, later became Northern Illinois a U.S. attorney, who made the statement that there was no such thing as the mafia, something like that. Later ran for governor of Illinois, and then when there were the race riots and urban riots in Lyndon Johnson's term, Lyndon Johnson appointed him the head of the Kerner, a commission which they called the Kerner Commission, to investigate the cause of the riots. After that, I think it was Johnson who appointed Otto Kerner to the federal appellate bench. But Otto Kerner, as governor, there were two things that came up, and they're going to come up again. Illinois in 1962-63 was the first state to legalize homosexuality for people over 18. And, of course, lesbianism was not mentioned, but it was implied. And so that was 5 years before that the Stonewall, which is a big scam, which was a mafia-run bar in the Village in New York City, where under 18-year-olds were served alcohol and where there was prostitution. Also, when Otto Kerner was governor of Illinois, there was the Theodore Isaac scandal. He was the head of the Revenue Department, and somehow Otto Kerner survived that scandal, but it's followed him right up into the federal bench when he was indicted by a guy who later became governor, Republican Northern District U.S. attorney, and he was convicted. Otto Kerner appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to hear his case, but they wouldn't certiorari it, so he was sent off to, I think, Sandstone, the federal penitentiary in Minnesota, and he died trying to rehabilitate his name, but he was unable, or it wasn't rehabilitatable, put it that way. But assassination of Anton Cermak is very important. And in Chicago today, in fact, it was near the headquarters of the Chicago Police Department. It's a place called Cermak Road, which was named in his honor. So that's the important. And of course, today we hear about Mr. Rowe and the Chicago machine, and a lot of this history goes back to that period in the 20s and the 30s when Cermak was mayor and when he was murdered, assassinated. And of course, Anton Zangara had one of the fastest criminal trials in U.S. history. He was tried within 30 days and executed. And of course, I think his last words were, "Let's get it over with." And Anton Cermak wrote words to FDR when he was in the car, said to FDR, "I'm glad it was me instead of you, Frank." So what an epitaph. So we'll be back at the usual time at 4 o'clock on Friday, and we'll have more interesting things on the presidents from our lecture series that we did for the San Francisco Unified School District and the lectures that we gave to some of the organizations around Northern California. And we will end with our usual politics and poker. I don't know if FDR played poker or Anton Cermak or even Lincoln. I don't know whether George Washington played cards. I'll try to find out. So we will end with our usual, and we're going to try to get Patrick Butler back to give us an update on Blago and some other things. Here we go with politics and poker to end today.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
All right,
possible straight, possible flush. nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
Yeah, good as gold. Also, we'll be back Friday, and we'll have an update on the proposal to these propagandists who are giving the Boy Scouts a rough time, that they should set up their own group, the Freedom of Association, and that'll end this controversy, hopefully, that's needless. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We're working on some new videos, putting them together. They're all very relevant, especially to women who are in abusive situations, women and children. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases that have not been well publicized, but in effect have ruled that the police have discretion to protect people. And it's very interesting, this Supreme Court case, Town of Castle Rock versus Gonzalez. So we'll end and we'll be back at 4 p.m. on Friday. Have a safe day.